This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
We are not to be judgmental. We are not to have a judgmental attitude. There's a difference between being discerning and being judgmental. There's a difference between standing for the truth of God's word and having a hypercritical, judgmental spirit. Jesus isn't talking about evaluating behavior. He's not saying we can't evaluate behavior, but he's talking about condemning people.
Have you ever forgotten to take your sunglasses off when you walk indoors? You might think that the room is too dark and a light needs to be turned on, but you're just perceiving things incorrectly. You're unable to see a true picture of what's going on. The truth is, while we're here on earth, we are all wearing sunglasses indoors. We don't see situations clearly because we can't see anybody's heart. Today, Pastor Dave reminds us that we cannot be a judge of others because we aren't qualified for the job. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he begins his message, Judge Not.
I think we live in a very judgmental society. Right? I mean, all you need to do is turn on one of the 24-hour news channels, you know, CNN, Fox News, whatever. You turn on any of those channels and you'll find more than your share of harsh criticism. When there's a breaking news story, I mean, it's like a mad rush to get the opinions out of what happened. And everyone wants to be the first to criticize or belittle someone who may have a different viewpoint than they have on whatever it was that happened. And oftentimes, most of the time, I would say probably almost all the time, these opinions are out before even all the facts are known. Perfect example of this was a story about the kids from the Covington Catholic School. There was this encounter, it was caught on camera, this encounter of these Catholic students who were down in Washington, D.C., and it was this encounter that was caught on video of them with a Native American activist. And based on the way the story was presented and the way it was first reported, it was said that these teenagers were harassing this elderly Native American man, and people all through the media were condemning these kids, and there was literally Hollywood stars and talk show hosts were literally proclaiming that there should be violence put upon these teenage kids. Now, I wasn't there, but as the story developed and as more information came out, as more video was released, it seems that things were not as they were originally presented. It seems like, at least the way the story was presented eventually, it seems that it was actually quite the reverse, that the other side was kind of getting in the face of these Catholic young people. This is really the way our culture is today. Everyone rushes to judgment. Everyone rushes to condemn anyone that has a viewpoint different than their own. They look to condemn people if anything they do doesn't resonate. It reminds me of a story of a business owner. He owned a manufacturing facility, and he decided one day to make a surprise tour of his shop. He figured he'd stop in to kind of see how things were going. And as he's walking through the warehouse, he noticed a young man just kind of lazily leaning up against some packing crates with his hands in his pockets, just kind of hanging out there. And he was really angry at this and saying, you know, what is this guy doing? So he walks up to him and he says, "Young man, how much are you paid every week?" And the young man looked at him and his eyes got really big and he said, $300. So the boss pulls out his wallet, he peels off three $100 bills, puts them in the kid's hand and says, "Here's a week's pay, now get out of here and never come back." So without a word, the young man stuffs the money in his pockets and he takes off. The warehouse manager is just standing by, like staring in amazement at what just happened. So the boss walks over to the warehouse manager and he says, "Tell me, how long has that young man been working for us?" To which the manager said, "Well, he didn't work here, he was just delivering a package." See, people are quick to judge not only one another's actions, but also their motives as well. And ultimately, unfortunately, the church is often no exception. There are people who seem to think that being judgmental, being critical, is one of the spiritual gifts that we find in Scripture. But I assure you, that is not the case. And in our text for this morning, Jesus gives us some instructions about judging. So if you would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read the first six verses of Matthew chapter 7. The Word of God says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you so much, Lord, for just the fact that you have given us your word. You have spoken to us through your word. You reveal yourself to us. You reveal your heart to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to conform ourselves to your word, that you would help us to obey you from our hearts. Lord, transform us, change our heart, make us like you. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you, if you kind of grew up in church, or maybe you've just been in church for a number of years, how many of you, the first verse you ever learned was John 3:16? You watch a sporting event, you see people holding up John 3:16. It's kind of the most popular Bible verse and has been for many, many years. But I think if you were to pull the world, those outside the church, and unfortunately, probably some inside the church, though they may not admit it, if you were to pull those outside the church, I think the world's favorite verse would be Matthew 7:1, or particularly the first few words of Matthew 7:1. Judge not, or in other translations, do not judge. How many times do we hear that proclaimed when biblical truth is presented? Some say, "Well, who are you to judge? Don't judge me. I can do what I want. I can do my own thing. You worry about what you are supposed to do, and you don't judge what I'm doing." When Christians speak out against abortion, as we're going through this 40 days of life right now, as we speak against the redefinition of marriage that came down the pike a couple of years ago, we're told, "How dare you judge? You are not to judge." But you know what? What's interesting about that is our world loves opinionated people. There's no problem with judging as long as you're on the right side of the judging. There's no problem with opinionated people as long as your opinions don't come from God's word. So when your opinions come from God's word and they rub up against this world system, well then, now there's a problem. Now we can't have any of this judging. Some people think that if we're Christians, if we're good Christians, well, what that means is that we have to be totally accepting of everyone else and everything else that people do, no matter what the situation. But is that accurate? Is that what the Bible tells us? Are we truly not to judge in any way? When Jesus says, "Judge not," here, does that mean absolutely no such thing as judging goes on, no moral judgments made? Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jesus means in this passage. Well, he does say judge not, or again, in some translations, do not judge, but he's not saying when he says that we're not to make any moral judgments at all. And we can prove that throughout scripture, but we can prove that right in this passage, because right at the end of the verses that we just read in verse 6, Jesus tells us to not give dogs what is holy and do not throw your pearls before pigs. So in order to obey that instruction, whatever Jesus is trying to convey in that verse, we have to judge who are the dogs and who are the pigs, because he's not talking about literal animals, right? So we have to make a judgment. A few verses later, a little bit later in chapter 7, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." So again, we have to be able to have some form of judgment to understand who these wolves in sheep's clothing are. And Jesus tells us how we'll recognize them. He says, "You'll recognize them by their fruits." So we need to exercise judgment. Also, Jesus says in John 7:24, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So there is some sense in which we are to judge, but there is a sense in we are not to judge, and this is what Jesus is talking about now. Jesus is not saying that we can't call sin, sin. He's also not saying that we can't determine or tell someone that their actions that they're taking are wrong. He's not saying that we can't do that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul rebukes the Corinthian church because they were not confronting the sexual sin that was right in their midst. Matthew 18 gives us instruction how to confront a fellow believer who is in sin. We all need to make judgments between what is right and what is wrong. So what does Jesus mean here? Well, what Jesus is saying here is that we are not to be judgmental. We are not to have a judgmental attitude. There's a difference between being discerning and being judgmental. There's a difference between standing for the truth of God's word and having a hypercritical, judgmental spirit. Jesus isn't talking about evaluating behavior. He's not saying we can't evaluate behavior, but he's talking about condemning people, looking down on people as if we are somehow better. So why is this a problem? Why is this a problem to be judgmental? Why should we not be judgmental? Well, first of all, it's because we're not the judge. We are not the ultimate judge. You look at verse 1 again, judge not that you be not judged. So if we're going to be judged, or there's a potential for us being judged, obviously we are not the judge ourselves. James chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? None of us is the judge. God is. Despite this truth, people often like to set themselves up not only as judge, but also as jury and executioner. They have a harsh and critical spirit and are always focusing on everyone else's faults at the expense of looking at their own. And frankly, most of these people are active on Facebook. You've seen it. I'm sure any of you are on Facebook. You've seen it. It's there. There's a very good reason why God is the judge and you aren't. And frankly, you're not qualified. And neither am I. We're not qualified to be the judge. You know what? When we're looking at other people, well, we can judge behavior, and the scripture tells us to. We don't know the other person's situation. We don't know their extenuating circumstances. We don't know how far they've come. And most of all, we don't know their motives. We can see behavior, but we cannot see the heart. In Romans 14:4, Paul writes this, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls." You are not the judge. I am not the judge. God alone can judge perfectly. So when we set ourselves up as judge, we make ourselves out to be better than other people. And there's two big problems with that. The first big problem with us thinking that we're better than someone else is that we're not. We are no better. We're all in the same boat. There but for the grace of God go I. It is only by God's grace that we are who we are. Secondly, when we are setting ourselves up as judge and putting ourselves as higher than someone else, looking down on someone as less than us, we're also not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We can't love and be critical and judgmental at the same time. So we shouldn't judge others because we aren't the judge, but also, as I already mentioned, we also shouldn't judge because we also will be judged. The Bible says we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all have to give an account. One again says, judge not that you be not judged. But Jesus doesn't end it there. It's not just that we will be judged, but then he goes on in verse 2 and says that we're going to be judged in the same way that we judge others. Right? This is what he says, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So as we consider ourselves, as we kind of look back on ourselves, we got to say, all right, well, am I harsh and overbearing toward others? Well, if so, then God is going to judge me harshly. Are you loving and merciful toward others? Do you have a gracious spirit overlooking other people's faults? Well, then God will show you mercy. God will treat you as you have treated others. And as you examine your life, as I examine my life, that can be a bit frightening. Jesus taught this same principle several places in the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, right in the middle of the Beatitudes, right at the beginning of the sermon, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." The Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our debts as we have also have forgiven our debtors." So the idea here is that if we're coming to God asking for mercy, if we're coming to God asking for forgiveness, If we're recognizing our own depravity and our own issues with sin and we're coming to God for mercy and grace, well, then clearly we should be in a position where we are also willing to extend that mercy and grace and forgiveness to others. We certainly have seen that in a number of Jesus's parables. Rabbis used to speak of two measures that God used to judge people. They would talk about the measure of justice and the measure of mercy. So the question is, as we consider those two measures, which measure do you use with other people? And which measure do you want God to use with you? We love to see justice given to others, but we don't like it when it's turned back our way. And I'll give you an example. How many of you have ever had this situation, and I'm sure many of you have, you're driving down the road, you see a car whip past you, I mean, go way faster than you and rocket past you, and you're like, whoa. And then a little ways up the road, you see them pulled over to the side of the road. You see the cop with the flashing lights, and you go, yes, they got theirs. And then when the flashing lights go behind your car, you're saying, please, officer, please can you give me mercy? It's the only time I ever sped in my life. I'll never do it again, right? Now, this is not to say that if someone commits a crime, if they commit a felony, that they don't need to serve their time, that you just say, no, I'm not. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about the attitude of the heart. We're talking about the attitude of the heart. James 2, verses 12 and 13 says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Again, God is asking us here, or urging us here, really to be merciful and not to have that harsh and critical spirit. We can also see in this passage, not only are we to not be judgmental, right, to not have that harsh, critical, judgmental spirit, we're also not to be hypocritical, right? We talked about being hypercritical, we're also not to be hypocritical, right? We see this in verses 3 through 5, right? It says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, this illustration is meant to be a bit ridiculous. It's meant to be a little silly, and it's exaggerated for a purpose, to make a point. The word translated log, it's not a little log of firewood, which is would be bad enough to have in your eye, right? We hate it when we get an eyelash in there or a speck of dust, but it's actually, the word there is actually like a rafter in a house, like a huge piece of wood. And the speck is like a little piece of sawdust. Right, so the idea of someone with a rafter, you know, one of these, you know, in their eye, trying to take a speck out of someone else's eye is absolutely comical, right? I mean, for some reason, when I'm picturing it as I was going through this and I'm realizing the size of this wood that it's referring to, I'm hearing like, I'm seeing someone knocking people in the head with it, and I'm picturing the Three Stooges, you know, the sound effects of the Three Stooges, you know, as they're kind of bopping into each other. It's comical, and actually it's beyond comical. It's to the point of impossible. It's impossible. But despite the fact that it's impossible, doesn't stop people from trying. We still try, right? Consider the story of David, right? The best example I could think of in Scripture. King David. We know the story. He committed adultery with his servant Uriah, his soldier Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Commits adultery with Bathsheba. And then after finding out that she's pregnant and not being able to finagle it to cover it up entirely, realizes he has to get rid of Uriah and has Uriah murdered. Nathan the prophet later comes and tells David a story. And he tells him a story about a rich man with huge flocks of sheep. He has all these flocks of sheep and he lives next door to a poor man. And the poor man, Nathan tells David, has only one little baby ewe lamb. And he loved this little lamb like his own child. But the rich man had some guests come over and he didn't want to take any of the sheep from his flock. To feed his guests, he takes this poor man's one little lamb and slaughters it to feed his guests. And on hearing this story, David, he explodes and says essentially, the man who has done this deserves to die and he needs to pay back fourfold the worth of this lamb. And Nathan then, of course, if you remember the story, points his finger at David and says, you are that man. David was so angry at this rich man who would dare to take that one little lamb from the poor man, while not realizing, not seeing the parallel, not understanding that he, as the king, had all of the wealth and power anyone could ever want, and he even had multiple wives, and he dared to take the wife of his servant Uriah. And even beyond that, he dared to take Uriah's life as well. See, David, when hearing this story, thought he was seeing that speck clearly. He thought he was seeing clearly, this needs to be dealt with. And you know what? He would be right. But he was missing the huge log, the huge beam, the huge rafter that was sticking right in his own eye that completely blocked his vision. And how easily that can happen to us. Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 points out how foolish we can be. It's so easy to pick on David, but he realizes how foolish we can be. He writes this, "Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge," you know, it's almost in parentheses, "you, the judge, practice the very same things." What Jesus is getting at here in this illustration of the log and the speck is that before we start throwing around judgment at others, we need to first judge ourselves. You need to first judge ourselves. Before we go around trying to get that speck out of our neighbor's eye, we need to take a long look in the mirror. It's so easy and so natural and normal for us to take a microscope and put onto another person's sin, that we can see it in all of its glory or all of its horror. But yet we look at our own self, we look at our own sin through the wrong end of a telescope. Right? You ever see the Little Mermaid, right? As the seagull takes the telescope and he's looking at it backwards and Ariel's right in front of him, but she seems like she's way far away. That's the way we look at our own sin. We see it like it's a real little tiny thing in the distance when it's right there. It's right in front of us. It's a beam sticking out of our own eye. It's been said that we're good judges of the mistakes of others, but good defense lawyers for our own. We're so quick to get defensive when we're confronted, but yet we're so easy to see, oh, I see where his problem is. I see where her problem is. So often, like Lucy from the Peanuts cartoon, you know, you ever, any fans of Peanuts? There's one comic strip some years ago where Linus and Lucy are talking, and Linus says to Lucy, "Why are you always so anxious to criticize me?" And Lucy responds, "Well, I just think I have a knack for seeing other people's faults." Linus then comes back at her and says, "Well, what about your faults?" And Lucy answers, "I have a knack for overlooking them." We so often have things absolutely backwards. We focus on the speck while completely missing the huge beam, the huge log that's right in our own eye. And you know what? I think Jesus points it out as the log and the speck, as the log is mine and the speck is yours. Because, you know, we know ourselves better than we know the other person, right? We may see what they say and what they do, and we make a judgment on that. But we know what we think and what we desire that never makes its way out. So that's why we should always be looking at ourselves and saying, there's this beam here, because I know the things that I think that maybe never slip out my mouth, but they're in there. I know the things that I desire that maybe I never act on outwardly, but they're in here. But having this idea of looking to the specks of others while missing what's going on in our own life by not examining ourselves, it's so hypocritical, because what we're doing when we're going to that person with their speck and with that critical attitude, and again, we'll talk about right judging in a minute, but when we go to someone with that critical, demeaning attitude, what we're doing is we're acting like we care about that other person when we really don't. I mean, think about it. Why do we care so much about the other person's sin? Is it because you care about God and His glory? Or is it because it makes you look better?
If you missed any part of Pastor Dave Cook's teaching today on Road to Calvary, or if you'd like to listen to others like it, we encourage you to visit cbcriverhead.org. Once you're there, just click on the Sermons tab. If there's anything from today's teaching that you have a question on, or if you have any prayer requests you'd like us to pray for, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Call us at 631-727-4112. That number again is 631-727-4112. While we're honored to spend time with you through the airwaves on Road to Calvary, we're aware that having a church community is vital to your growth as a believer. If you're not involved in a local church yet, we encourage you to find one. In fact, if you're in or near the Riverhead area, we'd love to have you join us here at Calvary Baptist Church of Riverhead, New York. We gather each Sunday at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. You can find all the information you need at cbcriverhead.org. To stay in touch with us throughout the week, find us on Facebook and YouTube. Links to both of those media sites are available on our website. Again, that was cbcriverhead.org. Before you go, we'd ask that you prayerfully consider donating to this ministry. We couldn't do it without listeners like you, and we greatly appreciate any and all amounts. Just click on the Giving tab on our website. Thanks for giving, and thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Road to Calvary.